NABBO. NAJKF testing. Sounded good. Check 1, 2, NAJKF, good morning.
Morning, you got NAJKF here. Yeah, you're sounding, I'm not in a great area, but you're sounding okay with the computer you went into.
Alright, we're good. Dave and Troy just got my FTM500D kind of here in the kitchen, testing it with a mag mount out of my apartment deck here, so not the optimum setup, but first time radio on, manual out, cup of coffee in hand, starting to figure it out. Good morning.
Right on. Good morning. You got Dakota here. I'm on an FTM500 as well. I am just south of Elmont. So, no, you sound good. I've had some experiences with this radio, but it's a good radio nonetheless, so you'll enjoy it, especially once you get it figured out. There's a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah, real fine. This is really destined for the mobile next week. I was with a friend last night, got it all programmed up at least with his frequencies in here, and on low power right now, just with his tag mount here. Stand by 1 second, I want to turn some noise off here. Hold on, NHK. Alright, I'm back. Yeah, just got the radio sitting on a box. And eventually it's going to go to mobile next week, so it won't be here long. I got all the pieces and parts. I'm just waiting for a little piece to kind of monitor and regulate the voltage in my car, and I'll put this in. It should be all set. But no, it's a pretty little radio. It's going to be a lot of fun. Back to you.
If you're talking about one of those DC stabilizer, DC voltage regulators, whatever the hell they call it, I actually ended up putting one of those on mine as well. I've got mine in a 24 Silverado, and I was having some weird voltage issues, so that seemed to have fixed it, so good idea doing that. The more digital these radios get, the more temperamental. But yeah, great radio. I love the fact that it's got a speaker in the head, so I don't know how you plan on mounting it, but mine's sitting above my mirror. And then the control cables up in the headliner down the A-pillar into the trim on the baseboard, the floorboard and the units under the seat. So that's the main reason I bought it, was because I didn't have to have an external speaker for it.
Yeah, real fine. Yeah, that's my favorite feature, and I've got the volume. Boy, it's plenty loud. It's going to be great in the mobile with that speaker right in front. That's such a great feature. Yeah, I bought I can't remember the name of the company, but a shaft that's going to mount onto the bolt for my passenger seat and bring it up right next to my console. There's really nowhere good. I've got a cheap compass, and it's kind of a small interior, and really nowhere good to put the radio, and I'm not fond of putting radios on dash, and there was no room up by the mirror, so yeah, it's going to go under the seat unless I find a better spot for it. And with my car especially, even I can see on the monitor and the dash, the voltage is all over the place. It's got that backup battery system when the car comes to the intersection, which then stops the engine, which I'm going to turn that off. But in that scenario, the voltage drops pretty low, and I'm sure this radio wouldn't be happy with that at all. But, yeah, I'm looking to get it all installed.
Sounds like you bought a Lido mount. That's what I have. I have their suction cup windshield mount. I've used their products for the last 3 years, and they've been great. Never had an issue. But, yeah, it sounds like when I drove it to Colma, I didn't have anywhere to put it on the dash or on the windshield, so it was, you had to get a little creative. But enjoy it. And what are you running for an antenna, by the way? What's on the mag mount?
Just a dual band. I think it's a Comet, kind of a cellular coil in the middle, and I've got a that. It's probably, I don't know, it's probably a quarter wave for VHF and maybe a half wave for UHF. And then I bought a tiny little antenna for my car. Somewhere I've got, I moved a bunch of gear and I've not had time to clean it up. Somewhere I've got a very high gain diamond antenna, NMO, but I have a couple antennas that I can play with. I got a real tiny one that I can get my car into the carport and real easy at home. But right now I'm just sitting on a mag mount, sitting on top of my metal, you know, kind of surround of my my deck here with a very basic, no coil or anything, just very basic straight dual band antenna on the mag mount.
Well, it's working good. I swear by Comet. I always put the Comet 2x4 is my antenna of choice. It's mounted on my bed rail right now with, God, who the hell makes it? There's a company that makes stake pocket mounts that are phenomenal, but I've always had good luck with the Comet stuff, and if you're running low power, like I said, you sound really good. I was on the Richmond repeater, now I'm on the Romeo repeater, and eventually I'll be on the Warren repeater as I make my way south into the office. But, yeah, you're sounding good, so that thing will be pretty sweet when it's mobile.
I think it's going to do well. I was surprised it did so well, the way it was configured low power here. I'm talking into the West Bloomfield repeater, which my friend Phil just updated, and we've got that antenna about 130 feet up and a brand new, very high-gained antenna sitting on top of the tower there. We just did that a couple weeks ago. And so that West Bloomfield repeater is what I'm talking into now, and it's doing a whole lot better.
Yep, I heard about that. So I don't know if you know Sean, W8FU, but I guess him and Phil work pretty closely on this network, the FBI network. What is that? Is that 442-500, 550?
Yes, it is, 442-500.
All right, I thought so. I used to use that machine on my way out to Wixom when I used to have to make that commute back in the day at my old job. So fortunately, I don't have to do that anymore. But yeah, no, you sound good. Congrats. That's a sweet, sweet rig. Like I said, I've got one. I've had some weird issues with it. It's been back to Yasey twice, unfortunately. But I know mine's a one-off because a lot of guys in this area are running it and they absolutely love it. So I'm sure yours will be just fine.
And in true ham radio fashion, Phil, before we even turned it on, opened it up, did the mod on it, opened up the transmit frequencies, and, you know, any respectable ham, I guess. I'm kind of a rookie. My brother was quite an amazing ham. But, yeah, any respectable ham, you know, before you turn the thing on, you got to open it up, right? So he opened it up, so I'll be able to use it for, you know, some of the other frequencies that were not like GMR, or not GMR, the GMRS, some of the other stuff. So it'll be good. I had my license for like 10 years, let it lapse, barely got it renewed before the one-year gap, and did it within like 24 hours, and I'm back. So I'm a little out of practice here, but we'll get going right away, and I'll be out here a lot. I'm a chatter.
That's the only way to do it. Every mobile I get, I don't even power them on. I just crack the case open, pull some resistors out, and all of a sudden they work a lot better. But, well, good. Welcome back to the hobby. I'm still pretty green. I've got 2022, I think, is when I got my tech, and then 23 I got general. So, yeah, there's a good group of guys that hang out on this network, so there'll be plenty of people to chat with. And now you got a sweet rig, so you at least have something to do in the car back and forth from work or wherever you're going.
Yeah, real fine. Dave here, NHZKF. I think it'll be good for this network to have that West Bloomfield repeater up, because that thing should do really well and cover certainly all the western suburbs, and I bet it'll do really well out to, that's a pretty high profile location with it. We've never had a good antenna on it, and, you know, a good transmission line. It's sitting right up at the top of the tower. We took everything else off the tower and had pretty good access to a municipal tower right there. So, like it's, I think, 130 feet sitting right on top of the tower. So, and it's to do really well and buy us all that area and western suburbs and all the way out to the west. I'm sitting in Troy right now. Like I said, low power. It's doing great here. I don't have that in my radio yet, but I'll have to update it. But I'm willing to bet with that kind of elevation and some new equipment, I think you guys just updated or replaced the PA on that, if I heard correctly. But I'd be willing to bet that I could probably hear it. I'm over in Romeo right now. So, yeah, no, it's cool to see this network keeps getting, you know, not necessarily updated or bigger, but refreshed and maintained. So, but, yeah, welcome back. Don't forget, too, that radio does fusion. So you're in an area where I want to say there's a VHF fusion repeater in Southfield, and I think there's one or two more out your way. Yeah, real fine. Yeah, we got them all programmed up. I got all the Phil's frequencies yesterday. We got them in here. So I got to read up on it. And, you know, I got the manual here. It's never... You know, never done any of the digital modes at all. It's been all FM for me, so that'll be new, but it'll be fun. And I presume there's a fair amount of people there and using Fusion. So, yes, that'll be really nice. Looking forward to that. At ADDF. Yeah, and, you know, another thing, too, there's those hotspots. So if you want to jump all over the place, that's another option on the digital side. But if Phil got you programmed up, I'm pretty sure you're going to be able to switch to that channel, and you'll just have to key up and talk. So good deal. We'll enjoy that radio, and I'm sure I'll catch you out here. Real fine. Well, thanks for the chat. Have a safe drive where you're off to this morning, and I'm going to tune around a little bit and see if I can figure out what all these buttons do. Have a great day. Thank you. All right, good to meet you, and I'll catch you later. NADDF.
WEDAB. SATFM. WEDAB.
WATIJ.
W8FU.
Good morning. Yeah, I guess. Just paid my tax to the Madison Heights machine. get the car washed and looking for a cup of Joe. You heading over to Pops?
Yep. Well, you're on it. I always wait. Not that I get a lot of tickets, but I always wait for the last day. Anyway, yeah, heading over there. Would love to do Covessa. I just don't know if I've got time today. I need to think about it ahead of time, and I can plan the time accordingly, but I'm not good at impromptu lately.
Yep, I'm, I wasn't even sure. I just kind of figured I'd go pay this. I'm off today, and I figured I'd go pay this ticket and, or citation or whatever the hell they call it, tax to the city, and get the car washed and figure what the hell, grab a bite. I don't know. Maybe I'll go to that little place on 14 and Campbell. Maybe I'll go to the office. I don't know, but I feel like a nice cappuccino.
Cappuccino. I didn't make any coffee this morning before I left. I'll have some at Dad's.
How about low power? Am I making Phil's machine okay?
Oh yeah, that's a little picket fencing, but you're okay.
Call for when I can get into work on the equipment. So it'll be about, going to go over there about 1 o'clock. So check it out after that and see if the receiver is better.
Okay. Yeah, I'll pay attention. I'm in the car wash. I can't hear, but what's going on? Hold on. Give me an update in a few minutes when I'm out of here.
I don't think it'd be transmitting in the car wash. Speaking of one of the car washes, is we had a good deal over here near me, in Sylvan or in Kegel. They had a special $8 for a month of unlimited washes. Can't beat that.
Was that the place like at the end of your street? Or was that the one around the corner on Cass Lake Road?
Well, there's none at the end of my street. It's a few blocks down. It's they got a big, huge flag pole on there.
Yeah, that's a Forster's. Okay.
Yeah, but the only time I ever buy that package is around this time of year because it's just everything's such a mess. Normally, I really, if I get my car washed once a month, that's a lot usually. But this time of year, I get it washed a lot. So I'm probably gonna run through it today again. I've already been through twice this week.
And I don't remember the last time I was through a car wash. It's been a couple of weeks, and it shows.
All right, I got to go get my stuff ready to do the work I'm going to do after lunch. So, catch you guys later, ABAPR.
Okie dokie, K8BB.
Okay,
clear
the car wash. What was that at 1 o'clock?
You guys doubled.
I was just signing. Said your audio sounds good now. KFAS.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm holding the microphone different. I'll take the microphone apart and put some sort of a filter over the little hole. Thanks.
Yeah, I noticed that as well, and I didn't say anything because I actually thought it was something else. I thought it was somebody coming in with you, but it was quite pronounced. So much so, I thought it was a second station messing with you. Ah, jeez. But no, I was wondering. I heard something till something 1 o'clock, and I was just curious what that was all about.
Yeah, I'm going to go over, put that preamp in at the repeater around that time. So, be curious if you're around to see what the difference is.
I had a suspicion that was what it was. Hold on here, I got to make sure. I'm in Madison Heights, and I want to be sure I don't do anything I shouldn't be doing, because they're on the war path, looking to build up the war chest. But let me be sure I could make the right on red there. No, anyhow, okay, cool. Yeah, I'll keep an eye for that. I don't think I'll be out that way, but we'll be around.
Okay, actually, the farther away, the better.
Right. So, all right, very good. Maybe I'll be at home and can try some handhelds in my house and things like that, just for giggles.
Okay, sounds good. I'm gonna take my my service monitor there too to create a low level signal, but it'd be nice to hear what reality sounds like. All right, catch you later, ABAP.
So I'm here on Campbell, or Hilton, what do they call it? They're going to call it Campbell up here. Ah, there we go, finally. Said, you know, it's odd that the first, I turned on 12 Mile Road on the Campbell, and the first speed limit sign I saw was just before I got to 13 Mile. So, you're kind of like on your own trying to figure it out, and they're waiting for you. At least the other side of 13 Mile Road, they've got one. But 35, so one of those as well.
Yeah, I believe the price is that's what they get.
Look, I know the guy cut me a break, you know, because he could have wrote me for the reason he pulled me over, the speeding, which would have been a ticket, points, and, you know, all the stuff that comes with a speeding ticket by giving me the no-proof insurance. But I offered to give him the proof insurance, so maybe that was his way of, you know, saying no, he didn't need it, because then he'd have to give me the, you know, the worst thing or something. I don't know. That's his way of being nice. No professional courtesy, no, I don't know. Not that I didn't necessarily deserve that, but it's worked for me in the past. So, guess my luck ran out with this Yahoo.
Yeah. It's his way of, I don't know. I have comments, I will not comment on them. Anyway, so I'm in 696 down in a ditch going by between DeQuender and John R. So, and I don't remember, I think the radio's on this 20, 25 watt, 30 watt setting.
See, I'm on the 500 now. I've got a quarter wave and a mid power, so I think that's about 20. And that 14 in Campbell, I should be making it well. I don't know, the car wash could have put a real lean in my quarter wave, so that could be affecting it.
You sound like you're fine into it. No worries, no worries. Anyway, what else are you doing on your day off? Just a day off?
Where's my candy?
He's off. Oh, so I was going to be checking in on him in a bit after I did my running around. I had to go pay that, pay the machine and then get the car washed, and now I am pulling in and parking at Mia's Bakery, the place I told you about at 14 in Campbell. I'm going to go in there and get myself some avocado toast and a cappuccino. I'll make sure I put my pinky up for you.
Oh, very good. I would expect nothing less.
It's how I drink my cappuccino and eat my avocado toast. I'm cultured. All right, anyhow, I'm going to jump in here and get myself. This place is great. I know I've told you about it. We'll have to make it a point to come have a cup here, or a pastry. They've got some really good pastries. It's called Mia's Bakery, but they do have sandwiches and things like that. So, all right, I'm going to get in here. Catch you in a bit. W8FU.
Oh, okie dokie. Yeah, I'm just getting off at my home, so almost a dad. We'll see ya. K8DB.
W8FU.
You stuck well where?
KFABOT, I'll be monitoring.
KF8BPA mobile monitoring. Kilo Foxtrot 8 Bravo Papa Alpha mobile. KF8BPA still monitoring.
W8FU.
Hello, AB Pierre. Just starting to work on this thing.
Roger, I am currently running around the Madison Heights area. Looking for... trying to slip under the radar. I'm an outlaw. Got a quarter wave running about 5 watts right now. Running a low power quarter wave.
Yeah, you're a little spotty and stuff, but okay, give me a few minutes here to mount this thing and then I'm going to hook it up.
Okay, I'm heading, I'm at exactly 13 in John right now. I'm going to be heading north to 14. I got to jump out and grab a pie. And so if when you get back, I'm not here. I just ran in and grabbed my pie, which is ready for pickup, so it should be in and out.
W-A-C-I-K.
Hey, Greg, how you doing? W-A-F-U out here running around. So we're making changes to the repeater.
Doing good. Thanks for asking. I heard you guys. Just want to let you know I'm talking to you through a HT from my house to the repeater. Over.
So you're in pretty rock solid, so I don't know if any improvements on the receiver sensitivity would have any effect on your performance, but anyhow, just FYI.
Yeah, okay, well, prior to all these updates, I was struggling to get in from my house on this HT, so it's improved.
Yeah, so I don't know if you've been following the whole drama, but a couple years ago, he took a lightning strike, we've come to find out, took out the antenna, and so then the quest to procure an antenna and get tower climbers out and all that started for Phil. Just a few weeks ago, or a week or two ago, I don't know, very quickly, he got a brand new Superstation Master, switched it over to a good piece of coax, tested everything, swept it, and hooked it up, got a new PA amplifier, so it's all right as rain. And now today, he's just going for a little extra oomph on the receive side, if he can get away with it. So that's where we're at. But that's why, for the last year or two, you haven't been able to get in because it was on a snuffed antenna for a while he was trying to get all that monetary and timing and control.
Yeah, I was fully aware of that. Phil informed me, and it was a work in progress. It took a long time. When you're talking about getting climbers, do you have to have the professional. Because I think isn't it on a tower that's used by West Bloomfield?
I'll leave a little space in there. Phil, jump in and pop in the property.
that's what it's come down to. It's a municipality owned, and they have to have certified people climbing those things because you don't want have to deal with an accident. But it sounds good. It's a definite improvement. Over.
Yep. I'm going to run and grab my pie. I'll be back in a minute. If he comes back, just tell him I'll be right back. W8FU.
Yeah, don't forget the ice cream, W8PIJ.
Anyway, DBS. Ha ha, I can still talk on it.
Okay, I was disconnected from the network. It should be back on.
Okay, got up there in the center line, so he's running 5 watts to a colon trunk, and I'm just pulling into my street again to the quarter wave. I'm going to run around on this one, configured like this for a bit as we discover the footprint.
Okay, I'm just going to pick everything up here, throw it back in the car.
Yeah, I'm operating 5 watts from my living room to the repeater. And thanks for all that you're doing there, Phil. You too, Sean. W-A-D-I-J, Waterford. I'm in the southwest corner.
And you are strong into the repeater, like, very quiet. In a good way. K-A-D-B. I got it. All right, sitting in my driveway. Repeater's coming in really well, so I'm guessing I'm getting in. But Greg was getting in really, really good before the preamp went in, so I didn't figure he was going to have a lot of important data points for the test. I was noisy or giving it a little trouble, so there was room for improvement on me. And we've heard you make that trip, so there was room for improvement on you as well. So. We had some outliers that took it for a run, and I think we proved it. But yeah, Greg was rock solid before and after, so imagine he's just great. He was great, now he's great plus. So there you have it. All right, I'm going to get out of here and start unpacking the car. I do have a hot pie and some frozen stuff, so I got to get everything in its respective temperature ranges. W8FU, go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, okay, very good. Thanks for the report. I appreciate that. And, again, you guys are doing a fantastic job with the repeaters. I like it that it's connected, and it's connected to, 442.350, even on Echolink. I think it's the Echolink repeater of the same thing, W8CMC, that's it, CMN, that's it. I've listened on occasion to people talking, so very good. I'll be on the side here watching my meteorologist on YouTube here talking about the weather that's coming in over the weekend, 73 W8BIJ.
Just a real quick note before I jump out here, Greg. Hold on. Yeah, so that's the echo link to the CMN. Now, most of the time we are connected up to them. But if for some reason we weren't, that repeater there and the FBI repeaters have their own echo link, K8FBI, so you can also find it that way. Also, it's got its own All-Star Hub and other stuff, because we do disconnect on Sundays when they're running a net, and I would leave it connected except for they leave the repeaters hanging and they disable timeout timers and all that, and I just don't feel like going through all the hassle to get that straightened away. So I just disconnect on Sunday when they're running the Hawkscom net. I may fix that eventually when I get around to it and leave it connected. But just FYI, yes, that's working. You can connect up to Central Michigan, and for all extents and purposes, you'll be connected up to Phil's machine there. But Phil's part of the FBI network, and it has its own Echolink and All-Star and all that stuff. So just an FYI there. Holly, of course, is on the Central Michigan, so if you can see that from where you're at, then that of course, then you want to use the Central Michigan stuff for that, if for any reason they're separated. All right, enough babbling on that. Going to get to the groceries for sure. Don, W8FU.
Okie dokie. Yep. Yeah, Greg, good to hear you, and I agree. I've got the heck of a repeater set up right now. So I am just getting off the freeway, and I'm going to head to my office here for a little bit and get some work done. Remind them that I still work there. But, yeah, I'll keep it on 5 watts as I'm driving around town for the next week or two and just see where things go. All right, I'll let you guys go, and Greg, on your final, I think. W-E-V-H-A-K-E-B-B.
Yeah, okay, I don't think we ever talked before. I think your name is Don. Yeah, I also believe they disconnect that as the CMN network, the 442-350, during MICON or severe weather events. 7-3, I'll be listening. W-8-B-I-J.
W-8-E-A-T.
Yeah, go ahead, station.
Alrighty. Hey, Dave, you out there? KF8S, W-8-E-A-T. I guess not. Heard a lot of talking, but I didn't hear who it was. But I knew there was activity out here.
Yeah, I'm not sure who you're talking to. I'm kind of distracted here, but my name is Greg. Golf Romeo Echo Golf. Call is Whiskey 8 Victor India Juliet.
Oh, very good. I think I've heard you out there before, Greg. Yeah, Eric on this end. Something just fell in the back of my car here. I gotta go check this out. It didn't sound good. It sounded metallic. I'll be right back.
Yeah, let's hope not. Maybe it was just a big chunk of ice and it sounded. Something reverberated on my vehicle the other day, and I thought I hit something. And wasn't sure. I looked around, didn't find anything, but it sure made a noise in the car. Still running today.
W-E-A-P is back.
Yeah, okay, I think you said your name's Erica. So what'd you find?
My snow brush has an aluminum handle on it. It fell off the seat and hit something in the little console thing in the back between the seats. So nothing major. I didn't have anything really back there except for that, so... I do have my All-Star node back there, but it's firmly attached, so I wasn't it. So, false alarm.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad you figured it out. So, are you working or mobiling or what you doing?
I just went up to the local pizza place. I didn't get pizza, and I did get a toasted chicken barbecue sub.
Yeah, okay. I just saw an ad yesterday for Marco's Pizza. We have one down the street next to the Huron Clinton River. And they came up with some new stuff. I don't know. You know, I have it once in a while. I don't eat a lot of that stuff because of the carbs, but I do enjoy it. And some of the things that they were advertising, I'm going, oh, yeah, I'd like to try that. Oh, yeah, that too.
Yeah, this pizza place at the corner of my street caters to GM Tech Center over here, 12 Mile and Mound and Warren. And it's weird. They open up at like 5 or 6 in the morning, but they close at like 3. And they make these delicious, absolutely delicious breakfast pizzas. And then they make these breakfast bowls. So I usually get a breakfast pizza, breakfast bowl, regular pizza, subs. You know. Anywho, I had to get back in and eat my lunch. So, hey, nice meeting you. I'll talk to you a little bit later. This is W8EAP.
Yeah, okay, enjoy your lunch. When I was down, I worked in Livonia, and I used to, lunchtime, occasionally go down to the Villa Bakery and get myself a pepperoni sandwich, I guess it's called, a pepperoni bread, that's it. I usually get the stuff with the cheese and pepperoni and a little extra stuff in there. It made for a delicious lunch once in a while. Last time I had that was a couple years ago. I was, my wife and I were visiting or purchasing some flowers out by the airport there at a nursery. And I convinced her to stop. We did. And I enjoyed it. That thing was huge, but I enjoyed it. But I don't do that often. 7-3, enjoy your lunch. W-8-V-I-J.
Hey, Greg, you hear me okay on this idiot here?
Oh, yeah, I'm hearing you. Go ahead.
I'm on a Hayden talkie in the car on about 0.2 watts, about 2 miles from their feet right now. I'm trying to hear myself, but took the antenna off the car because I'm about to go through a car wash, so I can't really hear myself very well.
I think, did you say 0.2 watts? I don't know if I heard that right, but yeah, just a little crackling noise, but you're, other than that, you're in the repeater full. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm on extremely low power, as it's called. So, yeah, that's good. Okay. I don't think I could have done that before this.
Yeah, that would be considered a milliwatt, wouldn't it? Gosh, that's lower than walkie-talkies we used to get. I think five milliwatts, that's what they used to have years ago. I think I had my first walkie-talkie was from Lafayette, over.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, yeah. Well, no, okay, milliwatt is 0.001 watts. So it's not, it's 0.2, so I wouldn't call it. Would that be like 200 watts? Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I think I've heard some people running 500 milliwatts. But, yeah, that's pretty neat. What kind of radio are you operating over?
Signed in. Oh, somebody else there? It's Kenwood, 27. Yeah, I want to try my hand home from the house. Test. You're in and out. Even my $10 Bofang rubber duck from the house is not making it. Good grief, Phil. You're not going to try. Hold on, I'm going.
Yeah, it's only going to get dirty again. Get dirty tonight. W8VIJ.
Yeah, I know it'll get dirty again, but I got a pass. I can go through as many times as I want. So, I'll take it. This is the third time this week.
Oh, yeah, I do too. I've got a, I wonder what car wash you're going through, Phil. I got a, what do you call it, membership or whatever up on Whitewater or Whitewash or Whitewater up on what is that, 59 in White Lake. And I'm not even a veteran, and they gave me a veteran's price because I was having some kind of difficulty, and they just gave it to me. And I said, I'm not a veteran. He said, we don't care. We're just giving it to you.
You know, this place is on Archer Lake in Hugo Harbor, and it's
Normally it's $18 for all per month for a pass. They have special $8 for a whole month. So I'm definitely making use of it. All right, I'm about to go to the drying station here. So hold on.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's cool. Yeah, they gave me, it was 20 originally, and I'm down to 14. I said, well, thank you very much.
And I'm with Jack's, which is certainly convenient because they've got tons of locations, and they just bought out Clearview, so even more locations. But I don't got prices anywhere near that. $24 a month now.
Yeah, ouch. You must be getting the Carnauba Wax special.
Nope, that's their basic wash. I think you got to have one step up from basic. I don't know what that means, but anyhow, it's their lowest monthly offering. And it is convenient. There are a lot of Jacks, and now they just bought Clearview, which there's a bunch of those around the county here. So, you know, convenience-wise, it's pretty good. Although the little guy just north of me, he's got a deal, buy five, get five free. His normal wash is $8, so that means for you get $4 washes, and he gives you, so you get 10 of them. And you can use it, they don't ever expire, and you can use them whatever you want. So if I need, you know, three washes in a particularly bad week, and then I don't need washing for a month, it's no big deal. With Jack's, I got to get the number in, or they win, and many months they do. So, I canceled it, and then it re-upped for the month of February because I failed to completely cancel. I'm evaluating what I'm going to do because it's right there on the borderline of my comfort zone as far as cost.
Yeah, I just, I also had those you talking about, the guy on Quinder, and 13 mile. I mean, I think they also have some on 14 mile. I think there's a couple on 14 mile. But, I use those during the off season. But during this heavy salt season, I do buy them. I try to buy the monthly one. And I only use it just for about 1 month. You know, this is the worst time. So I go back to the other way. And like I said, they had that one special. I was going to pay the $18, and they said, well, you got a special, it's $8. And I said, oh, no kidding. Sign me up.
Yeah, the name of the car wash is Whitewater Express. I think they have some other locations, but they're not marked on this card. I'm in the White Lake one. There was another car wash that went up over here at the Meyer Shopping Center in Waterford off of 59. I can't remember the name of it. I was going to check on them and see what they were offering for car washes, just out of curiosity. I'd have to go through and try it and see if I liked it. But the people there up at the Whitewater are pretty nice. You know, sometimes things mess up or whatever, and they'll come out, and they know it, and they'll come out and say, hey, just bring your car back through, and they'll pull you in through a special gate and run you through again, and sometimes they'll throw in something extra. So I can't complain for $14. Over.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right, I'm pulling in the garage here. I got to unload the trunk and some stuff, so catch you later. ABP.
Yeah, 7-3, they have amenities there, too, vacuums, and they supply the microfiber towels. They're fresh, they're clean, so it helps out. It's a new industry, WAPIJ.
This concludes the 15 minutes of silence in observance of silence. You may now resume normal communications.
Tesla.
K8DD.
Where are you right now, Don?
I am in Birmingham. Actually, I'll be in Birmingham at about 100 feet. I'm at 14 in Woodward. Heading up Woodward.
Okay. You still running low power?
Yes, I appear to be.
Yeah, you're solid. I mean, just occasional flutter, but it's absolutely solid.
Very good. Yeah, I'll be in the next minute or so. I'll be going past the 555 and whatever that apartment building is. It'll block the repeater. But yeah, it's super strong here. I don't think there's even any flutter.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, I'm just curious if it's got handy talkie coverage in that area. It probably does.
Yeah, it may. This sort of Maple, Woodward just south of Maple has always been a little weird. I think because of the buildings here, there's some strange multipath and some red zones. The 2-6, when the 2-6 was in its former location, this kind of 1 mile stretch here was kind of rough, and then it would come back. I think it's okay now. But anyhow, I've been transmitting the whole way through here, so see how choppy it was. Just crossing Maple now.
Yeah, I don't remember how it was before, but you're actually selling. All right. I thought maybe you were at home. It was so strong.
Now, probably about 15 minutes, but yeah, it's doing great. The preamp, I know that can be a mixed bag sometimes on a repeater site, but you or Sean mentioned there wasn't much else up there. How much extra gain does that give? Best case scenario.
Well, when I had it on my test bench, it was about 20 dBm.
Wow, okay, that's a lot. Hope it turns out to be a good thing and it doesn't amplify the wrong stuff.
Yeah, I was just concerned whether it might contribute to more descents, but it doesn't seem to. Yeah, go ahead, Dave. What's going on?
Beth?
Jump in. Did you put the preamp on, Phil?
Yeah, so you're coming through the dot 6 right now, right? Try the dot 5.
I'll never make the dot 5. I'm at my office.
Well, you could try.
Alright, I can walk outside.
Yeah, I want to make sure you're on high power too, if you know how to change that.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I just couldn't make out anything that person was saying. The audio was real light here in the car. This radio's got a pretty small speaker, so you gotta have good audio, or I don't hear you.
Yeah, that's Dave. He's my cohort in getting us the spot for the repeater and everything. So instrumental in all this. So I finally got the. I'm loaning him my HT right now. So he might have. Make sure you're talking right into the microphone. I'm not sure on that radio where exactly the microphone is, but yeah, your audio is a little low.
pleased to make your acquaintance.
You're in and out, but you're in and try holding still on the spot. You're right on the fringe.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to work, Phil. I'm on the other repeater.
Yeah, it was just breaking in and out. I could hear a couple words from you, but that's okay.
I was able to bring it up from my car right on top of the hill in Brighton, but when I get the mobile installed, it'll be a whole other world. I was so amazed how well that little mag mount worked on my porch.
Okay, you keyed it up with the handy talkie in Brighton?
Yeah, in the perfect spot.
Well, that's very impressive. Okay. All right. Sounds good. Well, too bad you were out there before I put the preamp in. So, we'll see.
All right. Well, sorry to interrupt. I just want to say hi. And I thought you were talking about that preamp. So, good job getting it in.
Yeah, and by the way, the guy from Bridgecom called me back to get the particulars, frequencies and stuff that we're putting in there, so they're working on it.
Thanks for doing that today, because that way you should be here pretty quick.
Hope so. Yeah, let me know as soon as it comes in. I'll take it over here and test it out and all that stuff.
Okay, it's real fine. Well, I got all the other parts in for the mobile. So, that voltage unit and a couple other little connectors. So, yeah, it's going to work out really good. So, thanks for all your help. I really appreciate it. And again, I had a lot of fun. I didn't have much time, but I had a lot of fun this morning just with the mag mount on my rail of my apartment. And it was getting everywhere on low power.
All right, sounds good. All right, I'm checking out here. I got some things to do. And over to you, Don, and then we'll talk to you later. And it's ZKF and KBB, ABPR.
Okay, yep, take care. Like I said, I'll continue to drive around town here on low power for a little bit and just see where the peaks and nulls are. How are you, Dave? KBB. It was real noisy for the full duration of that transmission. A couple of random words here and there, but unfortunately didn't get anything else.
Okay, my sincere apology. Hopefully a little better. I'm gonna sign here with you. I'm back in my office inside in Troy on the HD, so probably not doing real well. But good luck in your travels and adventures, and we'll chat another time when I'm better adjusted. Take care.
Oh, yeah, all right. Got that one. It was a little noisy.
3, but I got it all. So, all right, very good. Yeah, I guess if you're doing a handheld from Troy, you're not doing so bad. All right, nice meeting, and we'll chat again. K-8-B-B.
KF8BOT listening.
KF8S.
How's it going?
I'm all right. I'm trying to wrap up work. I'm writing documentation. So as soon as I'm done with that, then I'm finally done for the week.
There you go. How much you got left?
Oh, just a couple sentences and then checking my code in GitHub. And then I'm done.
Right on. Home stretch. Yeah, I was going to stay till 5 and then I looked around the office and no one was there. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to leave.
Yeah, Valentine's Day plans or whatever. And do you guys get President's Day off?
I don't have any plans, but I'm sure all those folk do. And no, we did not, do not. I don't know when that is, but we get Christmas Day, New Year's Day, and God. Thanksgiving Day. We don't get many.
Yeah, probably the days that are trash delays, right? You'll get those days off.
Yeah, exactly. So we've got some of our staff that, you know, if the trucks are running, they've got to work. So if, like this year, Christmas was on a Wednesday, I think, or something like that. So that delayed our trash by one day, which means they all had to work on Saturday. So it's an interesting industry. There's not a whole lot of time off because people are always making garbage.
Yeah, I'm thankful that I ordered a second bin. I needed it this week because we had the birthday party on it last Saturday for my daughter, and then that generated more trash than usual. So I'm glad we got that and the recycle bin. So I use all my bins.
It never ceases to amaze me how much trash we can create in a week, because I take it out every Tuesday and I usually have to load my bed up with what we couldn't fit in the can. But I guess when we order everything on Amazon, there's lots of boxes to be thrown away. And when it gets nice, I'll burn them. But right now, I'm not standing outside to burn garbage, or boxes, I should say. Speaking of Amazon, did your stuff ever show up for your computer?
Yeah, it showed up earlier today. Pretty early. It was only delayed a little bit, so that wasn't too bad. I wasn't expecting it until Saturday, so I'm glad that I came today. But I can't work on it yet. As soon as I'm done here, I'll probably take a break for dinner and stuff, and then maybe after dinner I'll install everything. Depends. You know, when you're on computers all day, you know, next thing you want to do is play on a computer.
You're preaching to the choir. I think that's part of my, not dislike, but disinterest in digital HF radio. I don't want to use a computer. Speaking of the A91, I'm very happy with it. I forgot how tiny that thing is. So I'm looking forward to a weather break here so we can all get out and screw around. I had to rig up an antenna last night. I kept my long wire hooked up, and I just coiled it outside the house, and then I had an epiphany. So I have my 12-meter spider beam with the top three sections collapsed down, stood up, strapped to my kid's play center, and then I've got the long wire in a semi-inverted V, and it's honestly working better than I thought it was going to. I noticed no decrease in performance with it.
Very good. Yeah, I've got... I've taken all my antennas down, but I do shortwave listening. I have a banana plug, the BNC adapter thing, and I just took some electrical wire and I spliced it, and I got about 20 feet total. That surprisingly works really well for listening. I mean, I was... you know, putting it on FT8 and all kinds of stuff, and it was picking up stations pretty far with it, pretty clear.
Are you talking about the BNC with, like, a red and a black banana plug connector?
Yep, the exact same thing. I can put it on my little Radtel radio, you know, the same one that Eric's been telling everybody about. Or I can put it on my 705, and, you know, either way, it lets me listen around, because it doesn't have to be a perfect match for listening.
That's a good use case. I've got two of those that I bought when I had my 705, and I never even opened them. I didn't know what to do with them. I figured, you know, if I ever wanted to dabble with making antennas and it'd be, you know, quick and dirty, that'd be the way to do it, but I never opened them, so that's actually a really good idea.
Yeah, if you ever want to try QRP with your 891, I don't know why if I trust a lot of power through it, but you can just take it to your table and then have one wire going one way and one wire going the other way, and might have to match it a little bit, and off you go.
You know, one thing I didn't take into consideration when I returned my 710 and got the 891 was no internal tuner, which is not a huge deal. I can get one if I need to, but with that being said, I'm far more susceptible to antenna issues and whatnot, because it's just a regular radio with no ATU. That was why I was so determined to get my NFAD working, because I knew that one would be fine on pretty much all the bands, but I was looking into, like, you know, can I make a vertical, something easy to stand up, and it's like, well, then you got to tune it, and I'm like, crap, I didn't take that into consideration.
Yeah, like you were saying, you can just get one of those portable antenna tuners. Some of them are pretty good. I've got an MFJ IntelliTuner that I use, but, you know, that one's not portable. That one stays with the... I used it the other day when you guys were doing that 80-meter experiment. You can, like, get your antenna to tune, even though the element's not resonant for it. But nothing was going out. You guys didn't hear me.
I think if I do buy a tuner, though, it'll be stationary at my desk, because I have a feeling that this long wire solution I've got going right now isn't going to last. That spider beam is not meant to be installed permanently. I've got it mounted you know, to my kid's playset, which isn't a big deal, but then the other end of the inverted V is staked into the ground on the other side, which obviously can't stay there forever. So I probably will at some point just get a mast-mounted vertical, and I'm going to need a tuner for it, because I really don't plan on buying another radio. I think this 891 is going to do everything I need for as much HF as I'll be doing. I am going to get a digi-rig, though, just in case I want a FT8.
Well, there you go. Well, anyways, ask, Sean's got a good brand recommendation. I just won't remember what it was. Ask him what he recommends. And they have some good ones out there. You can get the ones that are manual, and you can get the ones that are automatic. I think Professor Don always liked to do the manual inductor roller ones. But I just like the automatic ones. It's like press a button, and it tunes, and it has memories and all that stuff. So if you move around the band, it figures it out. And if it's out of whack, it retunes it. But they're not as... The manual ones go down a little bit further, like you can tune a little bit better, I guess, was the reason I think Professor Don recommended those. But I don't know. I would just get a portable, find a good 100-watt portable automatic tuner, whether it be the Chinese one or something more solid, because I think you'd probably want to put it in your go bag, and usually you can put power poles on them and have it powered by that.
I'm going to keep an eye out for a deal on the one that's for the 891, because there's a couple different like rails and enclosures, not enclosures, but ways that you can affix it, and they're not that big. They're designed for that radio specifically, so I'm going to keep an eye out for a deal on that. And I was also looking at the ATAS, just because it's, you know, meant for that radio. It's got the integration to where that radio will tune that antenna for what it wants. And I like that idea. I don't plan on operating mobile, but if I could figure out a way to make that that antenna portable, I think that'd be pretty sweet. But lots of options.
Yeah, and there's lots of opinions about that thing, too, because, I mean, it's still a compromised antenna, even though the element tunes itself. You know, it's basically a screwdriver antenna or, like, the Wolf River coil. It's just automated for you. So, but if you plan on doing, like, you're going to drive down the highway and have your 891 in your car, you know, it's perfect for that.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd go that far. Speaking of Wolf River, you've got one, right? You had some qualms about it. You liked it, but it didn't do something too great that you liked the Shelligans more.
Yeah, I just don't like playing around with the coil. Because, I mean, that's what you end up doing is you set up, and then I want to go to this band, or I want to go to that band, or whatever, and then you got to go play the tune the coil game. And you can mark the coil, and usually it's the same all the time, but it's still, you know, it's just work I don't like to do. It's not a bad solution, it's just, you know, if you band switch a lot, you're not going to like it.
NADBF, so it's like the Shelligans, but you've got to tune the coil instead of the whip.
Correct, yeah. I mean, you could tune it by the whip as well. If, you know, yeah, you have options there. I tend to like to have the whip fully extended, and then I would let the coil, only use the coil for what needs to be polished off. But, it really depends on what band you're on, right? So you don't need the antenna fully extended if you're, say, on 10-meter. You can just, you know, lower it down enough. And then you don't even need the coil for that if your whip is long enough. I think the whip that I had was, like, you don't even need the coil until you go down to 20-meter. So 17 and above didn't need what do you call it? Didn't need the coil at all.
I'll have to pay a little bit closer attention to that, because I remember you talking about it, but I didn't pay a whole lot of attention because you didn't seem too thrilled with it. But now that I'm operating the way I am, I kind of need to investigate other avenues. I'm really bummed out about the fact that I can't throw up the wire anymore. I mean, I have it up right now, but it's by no means a permanent solution. I just wanted to test the 891. So Yancey's got QC issues, but yeah, I've got to figure out something. So it's either going to be, I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. I need something.
I still say put a flagpole on your property. That way your wife won't be too mad about it. And the pole ends up being the antenna.
It's funny you say that, because I was literally looking them up, and that's what gave me the idea to be like, you know what, let me try the spider beam first to see if this is even feasible. But the way I ran the coax throughout the house, I'd have a flagpole in my backyard.
KF8S. Yeah, but I mean, I think if you were to have a permanent flagpole, you're probably going to figure out a permanent way to have coax be properly routed and buried and all that stuff. Whenever you're proof of concepting, you know, you can make things as messy as you want because you know it's not going to be permanent.
I know, and I feel like the proper way of going, you know, without spending a ton of money on a beam and a rotor and all that stuff, is a wire. Because everything I've read on the verticals is there's no efficiency to it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, think of it though, you're operating and you get to play, right? And then maybe it's not optimal, but it works, right? And there's, you know, and there's no such thing as an ideal antenna. Every antenna's got some kind of quirk to it. It's going to be directional some way that you don't might not want it and things like that. It's just we want it to be as good as we can get it. But I think if your only option is the vertical, then I think that's your best option, right? And then obviously you want a wire because you're spoiled and you had a wire for a long time. But there's other options, and sometimes it's a little more fun to get the contact with the compromised antenna.
I think someone's broke in. Breaking station, go ahead.
Sorry, guys, I didn't mean to step on your conversation. I just turned the radio on and forgot to turn the volume up. Hello, hello to all. KKKK.
Hey, bud, how you doing?
There's other traffic out there, too. All right, I'm going to try to finish up this work here. I'll let Cujo keep your company there for a little bit. I just need to bow out to finish this, so I'm not here until 6. KF8S, I'll be listening, though.
All right, Dave, I'll catch up with you later on ADVF. Go ahead, KCHKGO.
There's somebody else out there, too. Their audio was a little bit quiet, though. You on your way home, Dakota, or what?
Yep, just crossed over 30 Mile Road. Traffic is moving, and then it's not, so I'm just trying to get out of here. How about you? You still working, or are you on your way home?
No, I'm going home. I got a headache. It's one of those days. Went to Parma, which is just west of, Jackson, took care of that, left at 4, now I'm stuck in Detroit traffic.
God knows those monkeys can't drive.
It's 29 minutes to 8 Mile, and where am I at? East Grand Boulevard and 94? Yeah, there's a bunch of idiots out here right now. So, moving. really happens out there in the background.
Yeah, I know what you mean. This week has wrecked me. I'm ready for a weekend, and I don't really have a weekend. I got to go to a banquet tomorrow, and then my wife works Sunday. So, and then before you know it, it's Monday, rinse and repeat.
Yeah, I got to be at home at 9 o'clock in the morning before I even start work, meeting up with city lawyers, development lawyers, mayor, people from the city council. Oh, just to go over this whole new building plan. So much fun.
Yeah, sounds like a good time. I love going over plans and budgets and meeting with people that don't know what they're talking about.
Well, they want to start the second phase of development, but they haven't even gotten the final write-off on the first phase, but they're pushing us for the second phase, and we're like, no, we need to see these other plans. Like, we showed you those plans, you approved those plans. We're like, no, we didn't. You know, we said it looks good, but you're still not within compliance of our ordinance, so now they're like, yeah, we are, and you guys said this, and so it's kind of like a shoving match right now, and if we do it right this time around, the people that bought the development in the first phase is going to sue the pants off the city. So, yeah, we're just trying to get all the ducks in a row.
What are you guys putting in? Door controls and security and fire, or what?
Oh, no, this has nothing to do with work. This is city business. I'm the chairman of the planning commission for our city, so the developers want to start building their second phase, which is about 68 individual. Well, it's a condo complex. It looks like apartment buildings, but they're condos. They want to build 68 units. And we're like, there's not enough room. Setbacks are too small. They have to be 30. You've got them at 20. Peak height is at 30. They're supposed to be at 25. You know, so there's some stipulations, but they're trying to weigh heavy on us. And we're not letting them do anything. So now the lawyers are involved.
I got you. I was going to say, doesn't your seat and your group of people hold all the red tape to shut them down?
That's why they're pushing back. But when they haven't even done the detention con from they promised 5 years ago, you know, there's an issue, and we're not rushing the judgment on this one, and they don't like it.
Sucks to suck. I guess I gotta play by the rules.
Yeah, the first phase, they got that through real fast, and now there's people that own the property, like, hey, our brand new house is flooding, or the yards are flooding because there isn't proper drainage, and blah, blah, blah. There's a whole bunch of stuff. And they're not done with the first phase, like I said, because there's no easement, there's no drainage area, there's no retention bond. And they're like, well, we want to start our second thing. We'll build it when we do the second one. And we're like, no, you got to build it on the first one, like you said, on the original plan. So they're trying to buck the system. They've done it before.
Isn't it usually a requirement for developments like that to put in the roadways and drainage and all that and retention before they start building, buildings and get occupancy? I thought that was, you know, kind of standard.
It is, but when you got a small town community and everybody has volunteered on the board, on all the separate boards, except for the clerk's office, which is full-time, the fire, you know, public safety in the city is all full-time employees, along with DPW, but the rest of it, the tax board, the planning board, city council board, I mean, everybody is all volunteers. And so they take advantage of that because we're not full-time or 100% filled in with everything. So yeah, so they've been in a couple other small rural communities, but if you try doing this in a, like, jump the lights or warn or handcuff. What they did would have been illegal.
That's what I thought. I mean, my parents live in Bruce Township, and they have to pull permits for anything they do, and it's like, Jesus, really, out here? So I kind of thought they were doing something a little sketchy when he said that.
Well, they did it in Bruce Township. I forgot where they built that, but they pulled a little over a couple communities' eyes, and now that we're keen to it, they don't like it, so now lawyers are involved because of it.
It is amazing how many shady builders there are out there.
Yeah, word on the street now is they're saying, oh yeah, these are going to be condos, these are going to be, you know, rightful ownership and blah, blah, blah. But they don't have anything in their bylaws or in their HOA, which that's not even totally signed off on yet for the first phase. They can end up being apartment buildings.
Yeah, you'll have Section 8 there before you know it.
Which we don't want.
Correct. Yeah, I'm glad that at least you guys caught on to it. I'm glad that Elmont's pretty strict on stuff like that, too. We have one trailer park, and they said no mo. So thankfully, we don't have to worry about that. But yeah, keep the red tape up until they get their stuff in order.
Building in the spring, or like, no, not yet. You finish up what you started first, and then we'll go to phase two. Like I said, if we just let them chew on this, then we'll start building phase two, and phase one is still having issues, and then all the owners of phase one will definitely be talking to lawyers here and there. So we're trying to avoid that.
Well, and it sounds like with their track record, they'll push through phase two, and then it'll be, you know, incomplete, but complete on their end to where they got their money, and then they're out. Keeping an eye on the farmer around me because he's cutting down every single tree, and I don't know what he's up to, so I might
I might ask you for your opinion if anything starts to transpire from it.
He plans on building anything or rezoning. There's public hearings for all that. What you want to do is you want to pay attention to your city's website and watch for public hearings. Attend the city council meetings, attend the planning commission meetings. That way it keeps your, what do you want to call it? Keeps you up to date on everything that's happening.
I mean, I would prefer that he sold it and a developer bought it. I would rather have a subdivision next door to me than this guy. But I think Elmont is minimum of a 2-acre parcel, so it's not like he can stack anybody next to me. My bigger concern is what he's going to try to do with his drainage, because he's insisting that my property is lower than his, and, you know, my house is the reason why his field floods and yada, 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 and it's really because this here county's never cut a ditch off of our road.
You have a retention policy in your community? Because you're in an HOA also, aren't you?
No, I'm in farm country, so there's three houses on my road and then farm.
But because your property is lower, his field is flooding? That sounds kind of odd.
Yeah, it's going to be an ongoing battle this spring when I start reworking ground and cutting ditches and whatnot and properly running the water away from my backyard and to the road, which he's lower than I am because he's out of me, and that's where the water's going to go, and that's the way the ordinance is written. Lower grade takes the water, so I know he's not too happy about it, and that's probably why he's cutting down trees, because I was using one of his trees for one of my HF antennas, and I'm sure that had something to do with it, because I can guarantee you he cut those trees down for no reason other than that.
So they cut down the trees, so you can't put your antenna up, so I would say put up a telephone pole somehow or some way and reattach your antenna to that while it's on your property, and there's nothing you can do if it's on your property.
That's actually not a bad idea. I should just take a telephone pole and call it a day, and then I can do whatever I want. Put all kinds of antennas up on it. It's a really good idea. I just need to find someone that can give me a deal on a telephone pole.
About the DTE, they might have some used telephone poles. They're usually like 20, 30 feet. I mean, how high do you want to go up? 20 and then have 10 on the ground?
I don't know. I guess it would depend on what kind of antenna I use, but I can figure that part out, too. I mean, I could always just put a small tower up for a UHF, DHF antenna and something to strap a wire to. It's not that big of a deal, but I'm just more concerned about what his plan is and his little brain.
Well, you're not downtown, so you're out in farm country, so the code of ordinances are probably the same, but as long as you get approval, you know, you got to check and see what the antenna laws are, or the antenna ordinance for amateur radio. I know there's something going on with the fighting that, because amateur radio is also can be used for emergency communications. So, well, what is it? The maximum is what, 100 feet, I think, that you can have on your private property?
Oh, I have no idea. I wouldn't go that high. I mean, I'm talking, I've got an NFET halfway wire that I just need to get up in the air, so it's not in the way, so I'm not super worried about that. I would just, like right now, I've got my fiberglass mat holding it up, and it's working, but it's not a permanent solution. I think that's only probably up 30 feet.
Nothing saying that you can't put a telephone pole or a flagpole in your backyard.
And it's funny, because that's what Dave said earlier. Just put a flagpole in your yard. I'm like, I looked at them, but I really don't want one in my backyard. If it was my front yard, it'd be fine, but I don't want a flagpole in the backyard. But I guess at the same time, I could just move where the coax comes out of my house.
Absolutely, but if you put up a flagpole, just be in brown. paint to say that it's an artificial tree. Yeah, there you go. Paint it brown. Make it an artificial tree. Put some pink branches on it. It'll look like a really tall pine tree. Then you're all set.
Man, that is one thing I took for granted at my old house. I had a ton of probably 100-year-old maple trees that were every bit of 80 feet tall, and, you know, I could do whatever the hell I wanted with them. It was awesome. They were beautiful. Hated doing the leaves, but, man, did they offer all kinds of benefits, like shade and somewhere to throw an antenna. And now I live, now that he cut down literally every tree, I live in literally a field. There's no trees anywhere, so I got, you know, I'm improvising stuff now, which is not a huge deal, but definitely makes you appreciate a good tree.
Yeah, I have probably 80 or 100, it's probably about 80-foot tree in my backyard. Big old, what they call an old cherry. Thing's huge. But I'm not climbing on it to put any antenna on it. I'll just attach it to the back of my house if I had to do anything.
I don't blame you. I didn't climb them either. I used a drone and some fishing line tied to some pole rope tied to my antenna, and that's how that thing got up there. But I am pulling in the driveway finally, sir, so I'm going to clear out of here. It's good talking to you. Hope you have a good Valentine's Day with the missus, and careful driving. I'll catch up with you maybe next week. Be clear for yours. NATVF.
I think I'm
going to
go home and take a nap. That's what I'm going to do. She's out shopping, so I'll go get her a card, and then we'll figure out dinner. All right, 73K, sir. Have a good weekend. I'll chat at you later on the flip. KC and KJL.
This is KZ8WUO.
Your audio was low. Try it again. This is WATIJ.
This is KE8WUO.
Okay, I got KE8W something. I'm not sure if it's, is that Oscar? Good evening. Name's Greg, Golf Romeo Echo Golf. What are you using? Maybe you can get a little closer to the microphone. Back to you.
So the call sign is KE8WUO. Trying a different repeater this time. That's Kilo Echo 8, Whiskey Uniform Oscar, using an HT with an antenna up onto my roof of my van. So that might be why.
Okay, very good. I got it. You were full quiet in that time, huh? I don't know if you mentioned your name, but my name is Greg, Golf Romeo Echo Golf.
I apologize. I did not mention my name. It is John. Very nice to meet you. Kind of using this repeater for like the second or third time, so I'm a little new on the VHF side of things, so I apologize if I don't come off as polished as the rest of you guys.
Don't worry about it, you know. All of us had a beginning somewhere. But how long have you been an operator? I've been in the hobby since 1997, and I remember when I got into the hobby, you know, there was people in the, you know, there were 20, 30 years in the hobby and stuff. I'm looking back, I go, oh my gosh, where did the time go? Over.
So I've been a ham radio operator for about 2 years, but I did it all wrong. I got my technician license and then bought an HF radio. And went to go transmit one day and looked at the band plan again a little bit closer and saw I basically couldn't do anything. And after spending a bunch of money on an HF radio, I kind of had to kick the can down the road for about a year. And then I got my general and I got my first handheld. So Definitely the opposite of what you should do. So that's why I'm a little bit gray in both areas, but have had the license for a little while. I got a lot to learn, but trying to hit the ground running as best as I can. And I've been listening to you guys on this station for quite a while. Definitely a lot of good information on here, and seems like a lot of nice people.
Yeah, very good, John. Nice to meet you. And I don't know. I was wondering what kind of HF rig you bought. At least you had it. I'm planning ahead. Hopefully you're enjoying it, starting to use it. And this repeater is a really nice repeater. As you may know, it's connected to linked to a number of repeaters. And they just upgraded the site over here, 442.500. It was a work in progress for a couple of years, and boy, they did a nice job. I'm sitting in my living room. I'm in the southwest corner of Waterford Township, talking into the repeater, which is it's located on Orchard Lake near Pontiac Trail. I'm gonna say it's over there. Ort?
Gotcha. Yeah, I I'm at Stony Creek right now, and I thought I would try the Romeo repeater, but that one, I was coming in kind of rough, it sounded like, so I switched over to Warren. I'm on top of the main entrance hill at Stony Creek, so I think I have a pretty good, line of sight to Warren, which is where the one I'm using now. I did hear that they were working on it today at 1 o'clock. They were fixing some stuff. I wasn't sure which repeater they were working on, but I knew one of them. And then as far as my HF radio, the one I bought first is kind of a swear word, I think, to a lot of ham radio people. It's a QRP radio. It's a TX500 from Lab 599. I kind of like the mobile, kind of backpacking style radio. I messed with that for a while. I really like it. I also got an 891 rather recently because I wanted the higher wattage and kind of not make people that are receiving me have to work so hard. So, because I think that's a little frustrating talking to someone that's barely making an effort. but I like them both. I actually have better luck with the QRP, the TX500 from Lab 599. It's a little more user friendly, I'd say, than the 891. The 891, I get lost in the menus and I can't seem to ever get that thing to work. One of these days I'll have to meet up at an event and kind of see how other guys are using theirs. And I've watched YouTube videos and all that, but it's different.
Yeah, YouTube's a good resource. I ended up purchasing the ICOM 7300, and I thought I would. A reason why I got it is because the menus were very friendly, and I wanted an ICOM. But I'm sure you'll be able to figure it out. There's a lot of forums. You're probably aware of that online, and which, they may be able to help you with. But I'm sure that you'll figure it out. Yeah, I was wondering if you're going to do any POTA with that QRP rig, over.
Yeah, I definitely plan to. I'm a shipwreck diver, we were out at Isle Royale this last year, technically, and I really was eyeing the island, and I knew it was a prime target to try to do Parks on the Air from. It was just kind of the way the diving and the afternoons worked out that I wasn't able to set up the configuration. I have a really kind of ridiculous antenna. It's a Bushcom Mil 2, and it's 200 feet long. It's a lot of work to put that up, and I also, it was expensive, and I am terrified of it getting stuck in a tree, and when I have all these moving parts of other people that want to go diving the next day, I can't even guarantee I'll be at the same place, so if I get my antenna stuck in a tree, you know, it might just have to stay there for a year, so...
WAPIJ. Well, have you ever thought of getting a vertical? There's a lot of vertical antennas, portable ones, that is. Over.
Yeah, so I definitely have, and, you know, I heard a conversation earlier, someone talking about the 891 and how it doesn't have an internal antenna tuner, and I make these purchases before I really realize necessarily what the implications are. I sure wish I would have gotten something with an internal tuner, and then I wish I would have gotten a vertical. And I think verticals are probably a little bit more friendly to help you get started and maybe get to know your radio. But when it takes, you know, an hour to put up an antenna, and then, you know, you're backpacking on top of it, and it's hard to get to know your radio because you just kind of have limited time because of all the other stuff you have to do before you actually get to use the radio. So, that's the problem too, is I keep buying things that are expensive, and then I was like, okay, well, I should have bought a vertical. Now I better save up a little bit, and I will be getting me a vertical soon so I can practice a little closer to home, you know, and get that up and on HF a little quicker and a little easier. So that's definitely something to think about for anyone that might be listening and don't make the same mistake I did.
Yeah, very good, John. Well, you know, you'll figure it out. And I think there's maybe some restrictions as far as using wire antennas, especially in some of the parks, state parks. I could be wrong, but a lot of places don't like you putting up wires, you know, hanging wires, because they're, you think people are just going to leave them there, and I don't know. You probably want to check into that if you're going to, you know, toss up a wire. But you can always get yourself an antenna tuner, an external one. They have some of these automatic antenna tuners that you can buy. MFJ went out of business. Those are probably the least expensive. I actually have one, and it works quite well. But I've been looking, looking on the market for some other antennas. I have an internal antenna tuner on my 7300, but it will not tune a loop. I have a loop, it's about 225 feet long. So I use that MFJ to tune it. Now I have a 6-meter J-pole mounted out in the backyard, and that 7300 will tune that J-pole. And that J-pole works quite nice on 6 meters when the band opens. Over.
Gotcha, yeah. I definitely got my eyes on a vertical and an antenna tuner and an antenna analyzer. Those are kind of the things on my to-get list. I have a bunch of wire antennas that a really helpful ham radio friend of mine, who's also a diver from out of state, mailed to me to help me get into the hobby. Unfortunately, a couple of them aren't labeled, and so I know I could measure them and figure out what band they're appropriate for, but it's just a little hard to do that when they're that long and it's, you know, snow on the ground and it's cold out. But I definitely look forward to the summer when I can kind of enjoy being outside, and I think that's really going to be, you know, HF time for me. But I'm definitely having a lot of fun on the VHF, UHF side, getting to use. I'm still in that phase of where this is all kind of surreal to me, you know, and being able to reach out to people this is, you know, it's really cool. It's a neat hobby. It's a lot of fun. So I have a lot to learn, but I'm loving every bit of it.
Well, that's what the hobby's all about, John. And there's a lot of avenues in it. So don't ever let anyone try to tell you not to go one way or the other. You know, that's exploration. It's like what you do when you're, I think you're diving. You know, you're exploring. Well, I have to go. I had somebody come over here, John. I hopefully we'll get a chance to talk again. I'd like to learn about your shipwreck diving. I'm sure you have some interesting stories to tell. So I will listen out. I'm going to, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to add you to my, I got a little cheat sheet here. I call it a cheat sheet because I need all the help I can get. Sometimes I hear people throw their call out and I haven't heard them for a while and I go, what's this guy's call? So I think it's Kilo Echo 8. And fill in the rest. I will listen out, John. This is W8VIJ. Back to you.
So it is K-E-8-W-U-O, kind of a tongue twister. That's Kilo Echo 8 Whiskey Uniform Oscar. And it's been a pleasure talking to you, and I look forward to doing it again. You take care, have a great day, and don't work too hard.
Okay, John, I've got it. It's Kilo Echo 8 Whiskey Uniform Oscar. Got it. And hey, I was going to encourage you, since you're in the hobby, you might want to look at a learning code, Morse code. It's not a requirement, but I think you'd probably have fun with it, especially on POTA. I like working a lot of the POTA stations. 7-3, and have a good evening, W-8-D-I-J.
There's too much of a Roger beep.
Sorry about that.
KB8YIH here. The Roger beep, can you elaborate?
A good job at what?
Keeping us entertained. I was waiting for the Dawn update.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to. Like I say, it's been, today was real, some feeders wouldn't refill. I mean, just anything that could go wrong. Apparently, Tom did write her up for a no-call, no-show. But then they took it to Aaron, and unfortunately, she had one day left, so now she's officially out of time. So, yeah, I think he was madder than a wet hen because none of good nail her on that.
Now, is Dawn the older one or the younger one?
Oh, the older one. The younger one quit, I don't know, probably about a month and a half or so back, maybe a couple months by now. Is it snowing hard to your house, Lance, or just minor?
Oh, no, it's coming down really good.
I mean, it's probably heading our way eventually.
At the radar, it looks like it's going pretty good in Dansville, too. Maybe not as dark as it is here, but looks like it's showing like it's snowing where you should be, where you are right now.
I have to get up and go look out the window.
I'm not seeing nothing at the moment, but that could change.
Now, standing at the window, I gotta wait for a car to go by because it's dark out.
Oh, I just hit it. It's snowing pretty good. Yep.
Mason Rose?
Yepper.
Going to the back door.
Yeah, it's pretty dark here. Normally, if it snows like this, it's really light out.
It looks like maybe it's starting to snow here.
Well, hopefully you'll get home before it accumulates too bad.
So what you been up to, Lance?
No, not too much. Yeah, we got Sharon and I both ordered a couple new office chairs, and I put those together. Mine's really comfy. Sharon likes hers. But that's about all the excitement we've really had around here. We haven't gone anywhere.
Yeah. Well, cool. Yeah, excuse me, I'm talking and yelling at the same time.
I know, you're making me yawn.
That's funny. It's kind of 52, and it looked like it snowed hard, but then it stopped, and there's just little fragments of snow on the road.
Welcome to me again.
Come on, March.
I have to laugh. I told Mike earlier today that I don't know if we're ever going to see spring.
Don't say that.
So what did you and your wife do for Valentine's Day?
We ordered pizza.
Yeah, we went to a really ritzy restaurant today. We went to Leo's.
We were talking about going to Texas Roadhouse because they had a, you know, Valentine's Day special, but neither of us wanted to take it outside and do anything.
Yeah, she was up. When I got back, I went to MSU, looked around. Didn't find anything too impressive. I bought a 2-amp trickle charger for $6, but because it was a name brand, it wasn't a cheap one.
Yeah, it worked out quite well, actually. He went and did that. I got up, down, around. Me and the bird drank coffee. And Kate asked if I'd run her to Myers. And I said, well, yeah, I'll run you to Myers because I got to pick up a birthday gift anyways for the grandkid. So I said, but we're not going to dink around. So got back from there. Then he said, well, go out and eat for Valentine's. And I'm like, okay, let's go. Had a great day until I went to work.
And she bought me this really beautiful Valentine's Day card. You know, it was as big as a poster board. I mean, it had to be 2 foot wide and 3 foot tall with hearts all over it. Okay, I'm hallucinating.
That's funny. It's the only time I buy you cards is like Father's Day.
I got Sharon a forever rose and a pendant in this fancy heart-shaped box. Pretty cool. It's a rose that's supposed to last forever. It's been, I don't know, they get something to do to make it last forever.
Oh, that's cool. I don't know, they waxed it or something, or?
Not sure. It just says it's preserved to last forever, but I can't really tell. That it's not really soft feeling, but it still looks kind of delicate. You can see everything, and it's deep red. It's actually a beautiful rose.
Oh, well, I bet. That's cool. I laugh as I think Rocky would eat it, something like that, but we took him to the vet yesterday, and he was not happy when we got him back home.
Yeah, Mike was saying he was kind of he was a little mad at you guys.
Yeah, I got home last night. Mike was in bed sleeping, so I thought, oh, I'll get him out. And I kind of spent some little extra time with him, telling him how much we love him, and, you know. After that, this morning, he seemed to be much better. So Mike, I knew, was leaving this morning. And anyways, when I woke up to the bird and the cat on the bed.
Yeah, he's pretty adventurous when he wants to find a person.
And needless to say, I never heard him throwing the dishes out of the dish drainer, though, so that's the first thing I picked up this morning.
Yeah, he did that earlier tonight, too.
Yeah, I was looking at buying a new dish drainer, but all the ones we've seen had wood on each end, and I'm like, yeah, that's not going to work. He sees wood, he's going to chew it.
Hell, he chews the plastic one we got.
Oh, the deer are out tonight.
I'll be there before the storm. Alright, I'm back. I had to go find some Kleenex and take care of my nose problem. It decided it was going to start pouring. You know what that's like.
Oh, yeah. I think we lost Lance.
No, I'm here. I'm actually looking for my nose spray.
See, his nose is pouring, too.
where he wants to get it pouring.
Yeah, I have, my nose actually gets kind of stuffy, and then I get a lot of post-nasal drip, and I've got this Flonase that works pretty good.
Yeah, my sinus just keep draining and draining and draining from that creeping crud that's going around.
That's what happened with both Sharon and I, that when we were sick over Christmas, we still have never completely gotten over this. At least our sinuses have it. It just seems to want to drain down the back of our throats. It makes me have to clear my throat all the time.
K8EPL, listening.
N8WOT, how's it going?
Going all right. I take Flonase myself, and it definitely helps quite a bit. I'm kind of getting over having bronchitis right now, but I'm doing all right.
Yeah, my wife and I both had COVID over Christmas, and that's the one part of it that hasn't left us yet. The Flonase is helping, though.
Well, I'm glad that the Flonase helps. Another good one that's good for cough is Mucinex. That's a good one. There's a lot of good ones out there. I'm sure you've heard about them all, but I'm just trying to get over this bronchitis, and it seems like I can't do anything without having a hard time breathing.
Yeah, you think I use the Coracetin, the high blood pressure version of it, because I have high blood pressure. My 14-year-old's got it right now, and I picked her up a bottle of DayQuil, a bottle of NyQuil, and she'd rather have the tablets than the liquid. She's not a normal 14-year-old. She's a bit mature for her age, so she does the adult stuff.
I don't blame her. I can't stand the liquid stuff.
Well, those were the pills that I was taking. I was surprised that she would take them,
I'll be right back, guys. I'm going to get in the house and get on my HT. It's warmer in there than in the car.
All right. And it'll be you.
K8EPL, clear for the moment. K8EPL, out.
Well, Lance, did you even get your sidewalk shoveled?
Oh, sorry, I had to get up for a minute. The dog started crying for some reason. We don't know what it was. Seems to be okay. I mean, I got my walkway and my porch shoveled, and I shoveled a path down to the mailbox. But plows came through today. I didn't expect them, but they did, and they managed to cover up the approach to my driveway again. So I'm going to have to go shovel that all out.
Yep.
I got a pizza delivered tonight, and I saw the delivery person had a hard time getting in the driveway, so I had to go down there and get the pizza from her. I didn't want to take a chance of getting her car stuck just in that hard, crusty snow that they plowed in front of the driveway.
Yeah, when I do my driveway, I always plow back on both sides of the inlet to the driveway, so if they're plowing, their dirt, they run out of snow before they get to my driveway, so I just do that small little section myself. But, yep, been there, fought that. Used to fight it with the snowblower all the time.
So I'm probably going to fire up the salamander tomorrow and see if I can't get the snowblower going. If we're going to get that much snow, I'm going to have to bite the bullet and do it.
Well, know if she's home or still on her way home.
You said she's home?
I don't know. I'm on the first floor. You know, she could be on one of the other 14 floors, you know. This place is so big. No, normally she'll either go into the kitchen or the bathroom, and I don't always know where she's at. Yeah, to be honest with you, a lot of times the first place she goes is to the laundry room because that's where the clean clothes are.
KS8CRD.
Go for it.
Happy Friday, gentlemen.
Jim, right? How's it going?
Oh, not too bad. I don't know if I could complain, or if any complaining would do any good, but, you know, the weather's been cooperating for work, for sure.
I forgot what was your work? Did you work outside?
Oh, I do heating and cooling and retrofit installs for residential, so. Furnaces, air conditioners, gas piping for generators or anything else. And yeah, water heaters too.
Good deal. You the guy I want to talk to if I want a new furnace?
Well, quite possibly. Yeah.
Yeah, and that day will come and we'll sit here and say, who was that guy?
Decent air conditioning unit that never got installed because the guy that was going to put it in went to jail, and he's still in jail, so we'll probably do something this summer.
I imagine we can make something like that happen. Yeah, and you got my Facebook. I messaged you on Facebook at that one point, so yeah.
Good deal. I'll probably be talking to you sometime this spring or summer.
All right. Now, the wife is home and I need to talk to her, so I got to get off this thing for a little bit. You guys have a wonderful night, and it'll be you.
All right, Mike. Take care. Tell Carrie. Hey, guys, have a good night. N-E-W-O-T.
Yeah, 73 there, Mike. Have a good night. KS8BRD. I believe the name is Lance, right? Those things have been going on your end of the town.
Roger, that's it. not much has really changed. Just, you know, taking everything day by day, waiting for spring, kind of getting tired of winter.
Yeah, you and me too. we do a service at work. It's called a no heat. Well, if the homeowner decides that a new furnace is what they need, we will go and temporarily install it so that they have heat, and then we'll come back in a couple weeks to, you know, make everything pretty. And, yeah, they've been the bane of our existence this year. Had quite a few of them, and I think all of us are about sick and tired of doing those.
Yeah, I can imagine. Our furnace, you know, it actually works. It's just old. We could probably get something more efficient. And I don't think, they're still not that expensive, so I don't know, probably do something.
Yeah, I'll say this, you don't want to dawdle too much. the prices aren't going down, I'll put it that way, so, but, yeah, yep.
What's the going rate for a furnace these days?
Well, the only ones I can quote verbatim would be ballparks for the company. And they're anywhere from probably about 12 to 14 for a furnace and air conditioner on average. So.
Yeah, that's not too bad. That's just for the furnace, or does that include the installation?
Well, 12 to 14,000 for furnace and air conditioner installed and everything.
Okay, I guess the prices have gone up.
Yeah, when I said 12 to 14, I'm like, oh, he must have thought I meant 12 to 1400. No. No, I wish. Let's see. I want to say I've done, on the side, about 3K for a air conditioner before, but that's with, you know, a couple year ago prices. And yeah, I can't remember all the pricing of all this. Well, actually, I did do my sister's, but that was a totally different unit.
Roger. Well, we've got the air conditioning parts here. Like I said, I had a guy that was going to put those in, and he had some ductwork ordered, but I stopped hearing from him and then found out he went to jail and then ultimately went to prison. And so I kind of got left holding the bag. He took the money. So, yeah, that was not a good deal for us.
Yeah, no, that's not good. Do you already have an existing air conditioner you just need to have replaced, or are you installing one in a house that has not had one?
Correct. This house has never had central air, so it's had a furnace, and he was going to, I guess, just make the duct that goes above the furnace to install the air conditioning with the condenser in. I can't remember which part. But anyways, yeah, he was going to put that in and install it for us. And we've got, like I said, we've got the air conditioner here.
I see. Yeah, so it's going to need a 220 circuit for the air conditioner, or for the power out to the air conditioner, and then, some sheet metal. So, yeah, not too bad of a deal. Yeah, you live right around the corner from a sheet metal shop, so.
Luckily, the place where the unit goes outside is right by the power, so it should be relatively easy, and it's not too long of a run from the furnace to the outside unit for the pipe. So I don't think it'll be that bad to install. I know it's nothing that I could do.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. And, those are shorter runs. That's definitely makes life a little bit easier. Do you have extra spaces on your panel for a two-pole breaker?
I think so, but I'm not sure. I haven't specifically looked, but I seem to recall he said that it would be no problem. We'll also need the Freon. I remember he had all the Freon.
Yeah. Get hold of me when you're thinking about it. I know nobody's thinking about air conditioning right now, though. Generally.
We've done pretty good with the window shaker over the years. It's not that critical, but I think we're probably due for a new furnace. I'd feel better about having something nicer, so maybe just get it all done at once and see if we can get it done for a reasonable amount.
Well, I do know that the new requirements for all the equipment make them way more efficient. It used to be a couple years back that they could have a high efficiency, you know, the burner side, but the blower didn't have to be
high efficient. Well, now it's, you know, code that both the blower and the gas side both have to be pretty high efficiency, so, yeah.
Yeah, good deal. We'll probably have you come out and take a look at everything and see what you think when the time comes.
Yeah, no problem. But I guess, Ed, you know where my Facebook... I'm sure you know my Facebook, so...
Roger. I don't do Facebook that much, but I get a lot of Messenger stuff, but... yeah, no problem. I set that up, no problem.
Now, you don't play on HF, do you?
Negative, not too much.
Copy. Yeah, I need to put a little more time on the HF side myself, but after long days at work, it's kind of hard to convince myself to sit in an uncomfortable chair. Well, Lance, I'll go ahead and cut you loose. Yeah, I just heard some activity. I figured I'd jump in and say hello. So, you have a good night, man. 73, KF8BRD. I'll be clear after that. On your final.
All right, Jim. Have a good one. Have a nice evening. Yeah, I'm going to clear and get back to the TV. 73 to you. NAWOT. Clear.
K-8-E-P-L, listening.